551 is a free call on your cellular one phone, star 55 on your Frontier cellular, and there's that magic 800 number, which nobody remembers. 1-800. No, that's... I give this night in and night out a number of times, and I haven't got it committed to memory. 1-800. In any event, if you can read me on the phone, we need the information as to the 800 number so that I can give it, because it's the Frontier... Yes? 550-8227. 550-8, we're rescued. I take that to be Michael Mart. 550-8227. 550-8227. Okay. There. We are in business. What do they say about rough beginnings? Okay, we're on the air and very eager to hear from you. First, I must apologize to John and Ken fans everywhere for having clipped them by an hour. They've been preempted by 1 hour tonight. I hope word does not get through to them on the West Coast, or boy, will they be sore. John and Ken take these things very personally, and they speak very personally, and they've developed, I must say, a large following in the city. You hear only favorable comments all the time on the WGR comment line for John and Ken, and don't you? Don't you? In any case, we've preempted them by 1 hour, that we may open here with Dick Dale and his Deltones early in Miser Lou. We thought there were other considerations, possibly pomp and circumstance, I don't know, we might have done, or theme from the Last of the Mohicans, that was a beautiful thing, or Battle Hymn of the Republic. But we're with you from the Club Tralfamador, where I've been once before, but it's been, it seems to me it's been remodeled, redecorated in the time since. And it is a perfectly splendid place. I'm trying to place the face of the man at the microphone. He is making a presentation even now as I speak to I'd be great at play-by-play, wouldn't I? Okay. Well, that's Ernie Warlick. Ernie Warlick, 50 years later. No, actually, he doesn't look like the young Ernie. Ernie Warlick, the groundbreaker. Ernie Warlick, who in the 1960s became the first person of color to anchor on a Buffalo television newscast, and handle the sports segment on WGR Television, Channel 2. Ernie Warlick, one of the most popular athletes ever to play for the Bills. A rugged right end who came through in the clutch in Buffalo and earlier in the Canadian Football League. Ernie Warlick recently retired after 14 years at, Chromatic Industrial Corporation? He now devotes most of, and evidently retired from the hamburger business a lot earlier, in the time since, as a matter of fact, that location on that lunch counter on Main Street that bore his name proudly at one time, near Sisters Hospital, has changed management many, many times since Ernie Warlick presented you Hamburgers Deluxe. He now devotes tons of time on behalf of retired players and numerous charities as president of the Buffalo Bills Alumni chapter of the NFL Retired Players Association. And I hope they're looking after him. I wonder about those who retire, if the now, as contrasted to those who retired then, and whether they are... I must ask him, if Ernie chances by, I must ask him about the rate of compensation. Is it based on your salary while you played? In which case, Ernie, who may have been lucky to earn $100 a week when he played for the Bills, would be on the low end of the totem pole when it comes to an annual pension, would he not? And think of the guys today, the mega million-dollar figures. It's one of the questions I must put to him. We are at 886-6450. When, by heaven, Paul on Grand Island has risen to be recognized. I remember Paul. And perhaps we could... Is there time permitting before we are... Certainly there is. Before we are due for a break, to hear from Paul, who's our lead-off witness tonight. Paul, greetings to you from the Tralfamador. Paul, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, Paul, excellent. Listen, can you really hear me? Because I can hear you crystal clearly.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
I can hear you fine.
Oh, good. Paul, say it. Listen, it's great to have you as troubling to call. I'm very grateful. There's nothing in it for you tonight, I have to say, Paul. We haven't got the game running, the unidentified, the mystery voice. But you elected to call anyway, and I'm grateful. Paul, have you ever been to the Tralfamador?
Never even heard of it.
You've heard of it?
Never even heard of it.
Oh, never heard of it?
No.
Well, you look up the novels of... I keep wanting to say Ken Casey, and it's not at all. Slaughterhouse-Five by... It's a fabled cafe in Slaughterhouse-Five by... Who wrote The Breakfast of Champions? Vonnegut. Vonnegut. Kurt Vonnegut. Oh, exactly. Was that you, Michael, with that helping... Good. Kurt Vonnegut is what we got. So you can look it up there. Or one night to tear away from the family, one weekend... come down here on the town in downtown Main Street, Paul. See the theater center down here. And make it a... Whoop it up at the Tralfamador Cafe, won't you, do one night soon, Paul?
Maybe one of these days.
Yeah. What's now, of course, there are adult beverages. They'd be able to whip you up something, I should think, Paul. Like a Shirley Temple. Did you ever hear of a Shirley Temple, Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Well, you heard the actress, the little girl.
No, I've heard of both.
With whom I was in love. But you know, did your folks put you onto a Shirley Temple when they take you out?
No.
No. All it is a carbonated drink with perhaps a maraschino cherry in it, or something to look like an adult beverage, a cocktail, say. But they can serve you up Shirley Temples down here, and I think you'd love the music, and it is, after all, a jazz cafe. Is the Tralfamador doubling tonight as the home of the Buffalo Broadcast Pioneers? Gosh, I don't want to reach for this. Well, as long as I've started, what's your favorite radio program today, Paul?
That would be yours.
Oh, Paul, you're just saying that because you do want money, don't you? You want something sent to you. You want a present.
No.
You...
No. All right.
Paul, that's very nice of you to call and say, and I'm grateful. Listen, it's not time for you to turn in yet. Your school is still going on Grand Island, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just that classes still meet. Are you in? No, you wouldn't even be approaching a final examination time.
Well, you're in, yeah, a couple weeks. A
couple of weeks. That's true. So you are approaching, but I mean to say, you're not. It's not imminent. It's not like tomorrow. You needn't be up
well,
late.
Actually, today and tomorrow.
Yes.
We take the New York State standardized test.
Oh.
We've taken one last week and then 2 weeks from last week.
Oh.
So we've actually taken some New York State tests. We haven't taken the local exams yet.
Listen, Paul, if I were you, I would complain. Even strike. there's too heavy a burden upon you and your classmates. They're doing too much testing. Darn it all, Paul. Is there some action you could take? I protest. I, Paul, protest. Wear a sign like that outside the school.
Yeah,
before the
not do work in school. Yeah.
No, that's right. They're overworking you, old man. Anyway, listen, so you got a test. Yeah.
Oh, okay. You were saying
that. No, you're going to say something.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you what I actually called to talk about, because I thought you were done.
You mean to say, in all of this, you still had something other than this in mind when you called? Go right ahead, Paul.
Oh, I wanted to congratulate you, and wanted to talk about a daily event that something happened today.
Oh, yes,
did
yes.
You hear about that, the place where they had the arson, they left the couch on fire?
On tires? I do remember. Now, where they had the auction? They auctioned, you mean to say the old, bakery salvage place on Chandler Street.
Well, it was closed down. I don't recall the name.
What auction was that? I don't remember the auction. Oh, arson. Arson. I thought he said auction.
No, arson, yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
There's the couch on fire. And
sure, I remember that. Arsonists were at work.
And then one of the local
Vandals.
People wants to tear the place down.
Yes.
Because there are kids hanging around there. But, you know, there are enough of those places around where, I mean, granted, they committed arson, but,
uh-huh.
I mean, kids today don't have places to hang out anymore. They can't go down call an American Graffiti Mel's Diner, there aren't any of those around anymore.
Well, it was never suggested that young people hang out at the old Bakery Salvage building, especially after it was vacated. I mean to say, it was contaminated and an unhealthy environment, and vandals hung out. Arsonists were there. But I would never wish it on youngsters. You mean to say if the whole thing were remodeled rather than torn down and made into a children's center, a young people's center? Well, that's tonight's suggestion. We'll see if anybody wants to take that up and act on it. I suspect the neighbors on Chandler Street will be just as happy to see it raised.
Well, sure, I mean...
reduced to rubble. But that we'll think about it. Paul, you've been up and thinking.
I'd like to just congratulate you again before you get rid of me here.
Oh, yes, I'm about to, Paul. How'd you sense that? Good. Listen, I thank you very much, and keep in touch, Paul.
All right, bye.
Hear from you again. That's Paul on the island. And, yes, indeed, he is. Is he over 13? I think, I don't know whether, I never ask anybody's age. I don't do that, but at the same, sometimes it's volunteered. He may have said, and I can't remember. I can't remember where I am. No, actually, I'm at the Buffalo Broadcast Pioneers annual do at the Club Tralfamador, and there'll be more for you following these announcements of vital interest.
The calendar insists that summer doesn't begin until June 21st. But according to custom, summer begins on Memorial Day. To resolve the debate, try this. On Memorial Day, fix up a pitcher of Country Time lemonade-flavored drink mix, settle back with that good old-fashioned taste, and take long and liberal sips. And watch if the calendar doesn't somehow relent and declare summer open to the public.
Western Union Benefits Quick Cash.
Yeah, hi. I heard the government is moving away from mailing benefit checks.
Yes. Soon most Social Security, SSI, and other federal benefits will have to be direct deposited.
Will I have to get a checking account?
Not with the Western Union Benefits Quick Cash program. Your payment is direct deposited. You can pick up your money at any Western Union agent, and you won't have to wait for the mail.
Great. Thanks.
Western Union Benefits Quick Cash. No hassles, no checking, no waiting. To enroll, see your local Western Union agent or call 1-800-FED-CASH. That's 1-800-333-2274.
Hear everything you need to know on your drive to work and back home. Set the first button on your car radio to WGR, News Radio 55.
I know that when I left you last night, I left you with the distinct impression we would not be open to suggestion, what's to discuss, or open to calls. But come to find out, it's entirely possible. We invite you to do it, 886-6450. And especially when... some of the celebrities come by, and the place is full of broadcasting celebrities tonight. They're here. Sheila Murphy is here. My gosh, I remember Sheila from times past. And Ernie Warlick, and of course, Irv Weinstein, Irv, Tom, and the threesome are well known. Irv, Tom, and Keith. No, Keith Radford. No, Irv, Tom, and... Rick, I guess, is here. Although he, a retiree, is Rick Armadillo. Rick Caballero. Rick, Caballar. Rick Azar is here. And any number of people you might be interested in talking to. So we're 886-6450 and 1-800-550-8227. Is that magical frontier long-distance number a freebie? You can call from outside the immediate toll-free calling area. Star 551, free on your cellular one phone. Star 55 on your frontier cellular. And who is being awarded now? It's being the next awardee we have, we see, is... I've got the order of awards here somewhere. This ought to be... this ought to be the last of them. I think Irv Weinstein. Irv Weinstein is being introduced. Irving. Or Irwin. As everybody thinks his name is Irving. Because it's Irv. It's Irwin. Irwin Weinstein. And we may be able to attract him to our air. Tonight. As we've done in the past, but haven't talked to Irwin. Or Irwa, as I have called him. In a long, long while. He who, when they say... capital cities, broadcasting He's well remembered because he may be their major stockholder to this day, I think, Capital Cities. Is there still a Capital Cities, or were they liquidated in favor of ABC, in favor of Disney, in favor of Disney? Okay, that's it. Now I got it straight. Okay, so Irv owns Disneyland then. By this time, that's true. At the same time, there he is, showing on screen. Now again, you're at a disadvantage, your listenership. He's showing on screen, and there is a film of Irv being measured for a suit. Irv is being paid court to in some way or other on screen, and shortly he will address the crew. And that's the last of the inductees tonight that I see, according to my list, which included Rick Azar, a.k.a. Carbalada. Chuck Healy's widow was with us tonight. Tom Joles and Van Miller. John, who? And you are? Sure. No, and Buffalo Bob Smith. I don't know that his induction has occurred yet. Occurred. Has it done? Buffalo Bob. What time is it, fellas? May be able to talk to Buffalo Bob tonight. And Fran Stryker's son, Fran Jr. Fran Stryker having perished in an automobile accident as long ago as 1962. And, but I do remember talking to Fran Stryker on the radio, on the telephone. Yes, indeed, we featured prominent personalities on the program even then. And it's Irv. Irv is striding to the microphone that he owns. I think he owns the whole place, frankly. It is Irv, isn't it? It's Irving. Irwa. That's Weinstein. I do believe, is it not? There's a woman standing in front of me, blocking my view, but that's Irv, isn't it? Okay. To quote that great American, Sally Fields. You like us. You like us. Well, you really do. Oh, good. Van Miller, I might say, did shtick unending tonight. Van Miller did one succession of jokes after another.
Somebody mentioned downsizing that's going on today.
Now, were we able to broadcast?
I have to tell you personally, it's a good thing that I'm not going to be around that long for it, because if I'm downsized, I'm going to disappear. Irv, Rick, Tom, it's true. You know, I'm not an expert, never have been, on rhythm and blues music. And for the longest time, I thought Ikentina Turner was a female singer whose first name was Ikentina. We've mentioned in the past that more often than not, when we're out and about, somebody will say to me, "Hey, Rick," or "Hey, Tom." And I just kind of smile and nod, and I don't correct them. It's when they say, "Hey, Helen," you know, that I have a problem. Broadcasting is a wonderful business, and they don't do it any better than right here in Buffalo. Maybe the funniest line I ever heard in radio came from Sandy Beach. It was shortly after the passing of Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken. Sandy said, "That guy had so much money, he used to hire people to lick his fingers." I've never heard anything funnier. Who knew that Van Miller was so funny? Unbelievable! Now, one of the byproducts of having worked in broadcasting in one market like this is that I probably either have worked with or know personally or have borrowed money from every one of you in this room. You know, we're up here being honored, and that's terrific, and that's terrific. But there are a lot of Joes and Janes who do the job every single day, don't get a lot of broad recognition, and when I talk about that, I'm thinking of guys like Jimmy Rosselli. Jimmy, stand up. Jimmy's been with WJTN Radio in Jamestown for 45 years. 45 years. This guy is the voice of Jamestown Radio. And when we go to Chautauqua Institution in the summer, it's become a kind of a tradition. He schleps me over to the microphone, and I answer the same questions the same way. Might be a new audience if I'm lucky. John Otto, a giant of local radio, but a strange cat. John called me one day and asked me if I would come down. I think he needed to fill some time, and asked me if he would come down, if he could interview me. And I said, sure. And we did a half an hour interview. And when it was over, I don't know what the hell John said. I haven't the vaguest idea. You know, when Rick, Tom, and I were first teamed by former general manager Bob King and program director Red Cook, it was a time when news was not valued that greatly. It was a requirement of the FCC. You had to put it on the air, otherwise they would pull your license. So they didn't much care what the hell we did. The ratings at Channel 7, and I've said this many times before, our ratings were worse than the sign-off test patterns on Channels 4 and 2. So they got these three guys together. They got a guy who has a vague resemblance to Rudolph Valentino. Okay? Truman Goodhart here from Lockport. Every mother's son, standing up for the American way of life, the flag, and apple pie. And then they got this vertically challenged guy with a 1940s haircut and a bad complexion. And nobody, including us, ever believed that the audience was going to accept us. Well, fortunately, it turned out that we had the same effect on Channel 7's ratings as this stuff has on you-know-what. Now, Elaine... I would like to introduce, if I may for a moment, my dear wife, Elaine. Stand up, honey. Stand up. Like many people in this business, there is a broadcast wife who raises the kids without much help from the guy who's doing the overnight trick. I would come home and I would say to Elaine, see a child appearing, and I would say, Elaine, which one is this? Our daughter Rachel and her husband Scott came in from the Pittsburgh, I almost forgot, they've only been married 10 years. Okay, stand up, guys, stand up. Came in from the Pittsburgh area. My brother Henry from Rochester. And Fran from Ellicottville. Stand up there, stand up. And our daughter Beth from Irvine, California, who flew in from, California this afternoon. Beth, mother of three of our grandchildren, our son Mark, who's lives in Berkeley with his wife and new baby, unfortunately, could not make it. I was surprised, totally surprised. I knew Scott and Rachel were coming in. I didn't know Beth was going to come in. You know, I kind of think one of the reasons that people kind of took to the three of us is that they sensed that we were regular people. We were approachable. We were the people who lived next door. All of us are married to the same woman. First wives, okay? Talk about the first wives club. Married to the same woman.
Glad you cleared that up.
Yes. We've gone to each other's children's weddings, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs, happy occasions. And I think the audience senses that we are people who are not likely to appear on the cover of the National Enquirer. If we have any vices, Rick smokes an occasional smelly cigar. Tom will wear ties like that on the air. Okay? And you can always tell where I've been. Elaine knows what I'm talking about, because you will find a pile of pistachio shells somewhere near where I've been. You know, it's kind of, you know, bear droppings. You know, oh, Irv has been here. We were lucky. We had two families. We had a family at home, and we had a professional family. Rick, Tom, Irv. We truly love each other.
I'm not going to say too much. Irv gave us about as much time as he used to give us on the air. It was a constant battle. That's the side that nobody knows about. Tom and I would like to introduce our families and have them all stand up. Janice, over there, Tom's wife, and my wife, Edith. Please, guys, get up, would you? And our families. All of the... He's got a pile of kids, Tom. He got home earlier than we did. And our family's
that whole
there.
Table over there. That whole side of the wall.
But thank you very, very much. I wanted to tell one story about Irv. I ain't going to tell. I'm going to tell it. He talked about how we were always... people would come up to me, say, hiya, Irv, or hiya, Tom. They'd still do that. Well, about 1985... I was having a sandwich up at a place on Niagara Street, and I said, geez, I'd really like to have a nice cigar. Where am I going to get a good cigar? So the place over at the Hotel Statler was closed, so I went over. I'm going under the Priest Bridge. I said, I'll go over to Canada and get a nice Havana cigar, right? So I go over to Fort Erie. I go over to Fort Erie. I'm looking all over the place, can't find anything. Going around, I'm coming up the River Road right past the King Edward Hotel. Now, I went by the hotel, and right next door is a newsstand where they have cigars and stuff. So I walked by. Now, I had to park past the hotel. I had to walk by the hotel into the cigar store, came back out by the hotel, going toward my car, and I hear this female voice behind me say, "Hiya, Irv." I turned around. Now, it's 8 o'clock. It's daylight. It's in July. I turn around, and there's this young lady with this big, broad smile on her face, and she takes her sweater and goes, and ba-da-boom, right? And I turned around, and I, unlike Irv, he doesn't admit that he's not Rick, I said, I'm not Irv. And she said, oh, boom, and down it came. obviously they were for Irv's eyes only. True story.
Live from the Western New York Broadcasting Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the Tralfamador Cafe, this is the John Otto Show on WGR News Radio 55.